Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World's title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for 10 pounds of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from The Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Center in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaft Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I've typed in the word wrestle into iTunes to get up the iTunes reviews for Wrestle Ramble, and I thought, hey, maybe we're big enough now for where just typing in the word wrestle would be enough, and we'd come up in at least maybe the top 20. And that is incorrect.
Oh, okay. No.
No, you've got to type in the full Wrestle Ramble. And even then, I think we come up second.
Yeah.
Because some other podcast that only ran for two episodes that we had no idea about, weirdly, only started a month before we started this.
With the exact same name.
That appears first. Ugh. They only ever did two episodes and then it disappeared.
Well, this is what happens when you have an entire community. Like one of the a huge, huge community of podcasts that has only been managed by one person at Apple.
Yes. Yeah, that's something we found out, which is crazy. I am struggling to... I mean, the Steve Austin show is quite far down as well. So that gives me hope. But your daily cup of inspiration with Diana Hobbs is above us. The old WrestleTalk podcast is above us.
I think just...
That hasn't had a new episode released in ages.
Just do it better, iTunes. Just do it better.
We're not on the results list for the word wrestle.
Well, that is disappointing. So if you are listening to this for the first time, make sure that you are... I mean, you'd have typed in Wrestle Ramble, presumably, to find this. So I'm not really telling you anything that you don't already know. Would you like to hear...
I'm going down a hole now. If I add... I thought, well, I'll add the next letter, which would be R. You know, Wrestle Ramble, Wrestle R.
Mm.
And, of course, that's just the word wrestler.
Yeah.
So there's loads of other things. We're even probably further off now. But, yes. Sorry, carry on.
I'm trying.
Terry Runnels! Sorry, carry on.
She's got a podcast.
Yeah.
God, everyone's got a podcast.
Let's see what
days.
It's called. It's called Cigars, Scars, and Superstars with Terry Runnels.
What a... can you click... Who has she had on as guests?
Let's click this. So, she's 15 episodes in. She releases episodes weekly. And she began Royal Rumble week this year, January 23rd. She had... Ivory. She's had Ivory on.
A WWE Hall of Famer Ivory.
Dana Warrior.
WWE Hall of Fame giver-outer.
Ooh. Vince Russo and Tony Schiavone.
Ooh, not WWE Hall of Famers.
Are those guests or are they... Is that just a topic? Lex Luger, Victoria, Jim Cornette, her daughter, Dakota. We've never had any of these people. She's also had a cigar aficionado on.
She does like a cigar, does Terry Reynolds.
Patrick Vivaldo, does she?
I believe so. Yeah, she always used to have like cigars as part of her sort of appearance, if I recall correctly.
I don't remember. That's not my Terry.
No?
But to be fair, my Terry was a... printout of a bikini photo shoot that was hidden under my bed that my sister once found and ran downstairs to my mum.
Your sister's such a snitch.
And she was like, look what I found. She was like 11. Look what I found under Ollie's bed. And I was like, no! I was making a collage. And I slow motion slapped it out of her hand. Everyone knew what was going on.
Oh, Oliver Davis.
And we all just ignored it. And I was sat there red-faced. Anyway, correspondence.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. You stalling for time has actually saved me slightly.
Do you want me to stall a bit more?
No, I think...
Have you got any cigar anecdotes?
I have only smoked a cigar twice in my life.
You usually smoke homies, don't you?
Pretty much, yeah. You know,
guns.
And people who I don't like.
Yes.
I smoked when I was at university, I think, that like a friend of mine, so a guy that I'd actually gone to school with and eventually went to university with as well, he was a massive fan of Hellboy.
Yes.
And then he said Delboy for a second then. But anyway,
also
he was, like,
good.
Also
different
good.
Characters.
But he was a massive fan of Hellboy. And because Hellboy smoked cigars, he thought that the coolest thing that he could possibly do to kind of like maybe give himself a bit of an edge at university was to smoke cigars.
It's about finding your own identity, university. It's the performance centre of life.
I don't think it lasted too long.
No.
And then the second time was at my friend's wedding. My friend got married when he was 21. Actually, he might have been 20. And I was at his wedding there, and we had cigars to celebrate after that. But those are the only two times I've ever had cigars. What about yourself?
Well, I went through a phase because I thought that would make me look cool.
Oh, really?
They look cool, right? I think there's a few things in life that only men appreciate about other men. So it will be like, man, he looks cool. But a lady, the majority of ladies will never find that sexually appealing. And those are cigars and moustaches.
Oh, well, moustaches, I disagree with you on that one because I think everyone finds that appealing.
Nope, not in, well, maybe just not on me. Maybe because I look like a 70s porn star / a paedophile whenever
like,
I have a moustache.
Or like you should be part of Scissor Sisters.
Yes, that would work as well.
Yep.
Correspondence.
Right, so furthering on from yesterday's announcement that we are now part of Wrestle Talk Get Better, where Ollie and I are going to the gym and we were asking for people to kind of get involved.
And on the second day, what are you doing, Luke?
Not going to the gym.
Because you're going to play a board.
Because I'm going to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Ollie's still going to the gym.
Yeah, well, Ollie, I can't go to the gym unless you drive me there because I can't get to it from where we currently are.
You could come with me and you could sack off D&D.
I can't sack off D&D.
Oh, I'm relying... priorities.
There are five other people... Actually, there's six other people relying on me to be there. So... No, it is five. There's five other people relying on me to be there. So I have to... And, like, we didn't get to play D&D last week because our calendars are all a bit out of whack. So any day that we can actually get together and play, we can't ignore these days.
So I couldn't hear you over all the excuses.
So, I've had an email in from Fergal McClements, who wrote in to say, "Hey Luke, heard you were starting to train and it's intimidating for you. Love WrestleTalk and I'm a personal trainer, so feel free to ask me any questions that you wouldn't like to ask someone in person, perhaps." That's very nice. Thank you very much from Fergal McClements.
Should you pass wind at the bottom of a squat to help propel yourself back up?
Is that a thing?
Sometimes it happens to me.
What, it actually like lifts you up off the ground a little bit?
It gives me a fright. I don't know if there's any actual physics involved.
It gives you a fright. But actually, I mean, I little bit of a behind the scenes, I was hoping that you were going to stall time because my laptop decided that Google Chrome was too much to run.
It's demanding.
It was
that
demanding.
That stripped down browser.
It was. So I had to force restart it.
Nice.
In order to get it going. But I have had a couple of other emails in from people on the subject. Both had the subject line of Wrestle Talk Get Better, which I really liked. First from Connor Curran, who read, "Just heard your podcast about going to the gym with Ollie and your story about getting bored and going home. I can relate to. Just have to say, keep it up and you'll get there. I've been going to the gym for about a year and a half now and I've lost roughly 22 kilograms, that's 3.5 stone,
that's loads.
And I've upped the amount I can lift by around 70 pounds.
Wow, I mean, that's great. I mean, it's confusing though, switching between different units of measurement.
Well, he's okay. So 22
How much
kilograms,
is 70 pounds.
Well, 70. You know, 70 pounds because you lift. What do
well,
you?
Well, everything I do is metric because the other way doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, what's 70 pounds
in kilograms?
In kilograms.
Okay, 1 second. 70 pounds. Googling live on air in kilograms.
I reckon it's six pounds to a kilogram.
Well, you might no. It's 31.7 kilograms.
Okay. So it's almost two pounds, just over 2 pounds to a kilogram?
I guess so. That might not be the most accurate thing I've ever done.
No. Well, that's still damn impressive, though. You've dropped 22, and you've added that in lifting power.
It also helps, this is back to Connor's email, it also helps that I recently joined a wrestling school in January as my New Year's resolution, which is great fun. I, for one, am looking forward to hearing your progress and hoping you can get Ollie involved. In regards to WrestleTalk, keep up the good work. Yours truly. And that's Connor Curran, who is one of our pledge hammers.
Well done, Connor.
No, that's a business email.
His full name does sound like WWE's charitable endeavor.
Well, that is his WrestleTalk Hall of Fame name, is Connor Cure Curran.
Right, got you.
Connor's Cure Curran. And we also got an email from Robert Stemmen, who emailed and say, "Hey, Luke, I'm glad to hear about your fresh desire for fitness. I want you to know that you're not alone and that I share all of the same fears and hesitations when I go to the gym, even after almost 4 months of going every day. When I started at the beginning of January, I weighed around 230 pounds and was roughly 25% body fat. Since then, I'm proud to say that I am down to 218 pounds and 23% body fat." Which I think is a round of applause.
Wait, sorry, what was the initial one?
230 pounds with 25% body fat.
Yes.
So that's very good.
In 4 months.
It's a tough process and it takes a long time, but I've been told it's worth it. Let's work together and make each other stronger. Stay swapped. That's from Rob in Austin, Texas.
I think we can all look to the wonderful words of that pithy supermodel, Kate Moss. Nothing looks as good as skinny. No, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Oh, no, that's a lie. That's absolute bollocks, mate.
What a horrible person. That is my all-time favourite bitchiest quote.
Oh, no, I'm not having that.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
Outrageous.
So that's like height of the 90s, she said that, I think.
Oh, dearie
me. And that's back when, you know, well, just look at the type of woman that was wrestling in WWE.
Mm.
Everyone was stick-thinned and orb boobs.
Well, exactly. I mean, I remember listening to a podcast recently that was looking back on the old days of the WWF and the WWE, and they made the point, and I think they're probably correct, Stacey Keibler would not have got over in today's climate because she was very, very slender, and she was, from an aesthetic standpoint and the way that she would be presented, she was about her legs. And in today's climate, where I think tastes in women have changed among men, they go for slightly curvier figures or more muscular, defined figures.
What is it? Fit is the new skinny.
Is that it? Yeah. Oh,
that's what I've read in Woman's Health, which magically appears on the sofa side table.
Oh,
every
right.
Month.
So your what do you call it? Your wife, your lady partner buys it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She hasn't got it on order.
It will probably happen soon because we do this. We get it every month anyway. I know so many ways to prepare avocados that I will never do. Here's 50 other uses for coconuts. I didn't need one use apart from eating it or maybe boiling down the fat.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Distilling
making nice curries.
Medium chain. Yeah, but like rub it into your scalp.
Oh, no.
You do something so it activates the cellulite to get it. I don't care. Should we get on with the show? Just to make sure we did see what we saw, we just watched the Bobby Lashley interview segment again from last night's Raw. We have both been saying for a month since Bobby Lashley came back, oh, I hope that Bobby gets some meat to his character soon. At the moment, WWE are kind of resting on the laurels of a decade ago, back when Bobby Lashley was last in the company. Now he's just returned, he's got an impressive physique, an impressive delayed suplex finisher, but beyond that, why should people care about him? Give us a reason to care, WWE! And what do WWE do? They say, okay then, hold my beer. And they go and make, honestly, one of the worst things I've ever seen from a scripted, force-feeding, getting someone's character not just wrong, but actively ruining them. It was a sit-down interview with Renee Young and Bobby Lashley, who, I mean, at the end of all this, he's a dapper man. Like, none of us can deny that. He was very smartly dressed. I wish I could pull off a flat cap the way he does. That is the only positive thing I will say about this segment. Because then what followed is him going through his three sisters and describing stories from their childhood together. So we've got Kathy, that's the eldest sister, Jessica, that's the second oldest sister, and then Frances, which is the closest to his age. You know, that's why she's daddy's little girl. And each one of them has a really, really rubbish story attached to them based around an object. So Kathy's, she carried a broom everywhere and she'd chase me with it, Bobby said, because I was the little one and they'd torment me, my sisters. And one day I said, huh, why don't you just hop on that broom? Implying she's a witch. Ha ha, ha 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 ha. Then Jessica, she didn't just have a security blanket. She had a security towel. And boy, she carried it with her everywhere. So that thing stunk. But when the local bully found out and started making fun of her for it, little brother Bobby Lashley shoved it down his throat. I bet that didn't taste too good. That's the scripted thing that he said. You know, I'm trying to summarize here just so we're all on the same page of how awful this is. You've got a towel in your throat. I bet that doesn't taste good because yep, it's old. Yep. Like, hop on that broom. So it's just not funny.
We've got one more to go, yeah.
And then you've got Frances, who is the youngest, closest to Bobby's age, and she carried around her father's army hat everywhere. Took it to school, took it to, I don't know,
church
everywhere, because their dad was in the army, and
she was daddy's little girl.
And then Bobby's
Vince McMahonism.
And then Bobby says, "Well, you know, I decided to play a bit of a prank on her." A prank. He hid it in her room.
I was going to say, he didn't hide it far. He hid it in her own room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, oh, she was angry about that. And you see this scar right here. He points to a part of his eye. He says, oh, that bit. Oh, that bit hurt. That's why I know never to mess with Frances. What the actual F word?
No, come on, man. You've not got to my favourite bit of
okay,
this.
Okay.
My favourite bit of this is Serena Young there politely smiling throughout this, nodding away, being like, every time he told one of these little anecdotes, being like, that's the most interesting anecdote I've ever heard. Like, that was the face that Renee was pulling. And then at the end of it, she's like, well, it sounds like you've had quite the colourful life.
No, it doesn't. That is the most boring life I've ever heard.
And then Bobby's like, yep, you know, I've got a really great family. But now I have a new extended family. They're called the WWE Universe. And we're going to have a lot of fun together. That was word for word, almost like...
We've written it down, yeah.
Almost like the intonations that he spoke those words. It's an absolute marvel of a promo. Fun story for you, Wrestle Ramble audience. When Ollie came in from doing his Raw review, I'm not in the same room when he records it. He was replaying the footage, and I just heard him do this massive loud swear in the. And then I was like, oh god, I wonder what he was swearing about. And then you came back in here and said, like, what do you think I was really angry about on this show? What did you think I thought was the worst thing WWE did on this show? And I was like, I mean, setting up a Roman gender feud doesn't exactly sound particularly appetizing. And then I was just trying to play back the show in my head. And I was like, nope, can't think of anything. Genuinely can't think of anything. And then you said, the Bobby Lashley bit. And all of a sudden, it popped back to my mind. I had completely forgotten this thing happened on the show. What I wouldn't have remembered until we got through it on the notes. But I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot about the Bobby Lashley thing. And then all of it came flooding back to me. And there's the crap stories that he was telling. But, I mean, bless him. They're obviously... I mean, actually, no, I'm not going to say bless him. And I was about to say they might be really important stories to him. But they don't sound like they're important stories to him because they were scripted for him to say.
They're not real. There's no way these are real.
That's the worst thing about this, is that it sounded so scripted. There was not one bit of this that sounded genuine or real. I mean, my notes here is like, this wasn't as good as when NXT did it for Roderick Strong. And because the Roddy Strong stuff that they did on NXT, it felt like genuine. It was Roddy, like, this is me. I've always been Roddy versus the world. I've always been on my own. But now I've got a family and I'm doing this. Here's like all this tragic stuff that happened with my dad. And it felt this really real and raw stuff. And everyone's like, oh my God, Roddy's a star coming out of this. Which then made his heel turn even more impactful. Because you're like, oh, but I now know what Roddy is like as a babyface. And like, I know what he's like as a real person. This has done absolutely nothing for Bobby Lashley other than make him sound... just really scripted and rubbish.
Well, that's it. It's not just that it's scripted, because the Roddy stuff works so well because it isn't just real. It's really super interesting and tragic and emotional. So you've got like a double hook there. This just isn't real. It's in no way interesting, especially when the show opens with Braun Strowman telling a scripted childhood story.
Oh, what was that all about?
I didn't
well?
Mind that because it ended, the anecdote ended with Braun Strowman killing some children. I thought that was hilarious and I loved it. So how can you expect me? Oh, I shoved a towel down a kid's throat because my sister Frances or Jessica, I don't care about your family, Bobby Lashley. And he's a big guy. He's a big guy, but he should have said no. He could have like threatened someone. I'm not going to read this, Tosh. But so you said your favourite bit was, oh, and now I've got an extended family and we're going to have a lot of fun with the WWE universe.
That was the most scripted line of the whole thing. And it was the corniest crap ever.
No, because the corniest crap came a second later when Renee Young's like, well, you know, thank you very much for sharing.
Oh, yeah.
She's wrapping things up.
We literally just watched it. Sorry.
She's wrapping things up. Renee Young, you know, scripted, staged-wise, and Bobby goes, Renee, can I just say something, please? I'm like, okay, maybe this is where it's going to get interesting. This is where he's going to, like, start...
He's going to go, Brock Lesnar, I'm coming for you.
Bitch. Yeah, it's like a really, like, swerve bit. That would have made everything worthwhile. Or maybe, I don't even know, just, like, assaulted a camera guy.
Punches Renee Young.
Yeah, delayed suplexes Renee Young. But he doesn't. He goes...
Can he do something?
Just stop right there, Renee Young. Because I've got something I want to say. Looks right at the camera with this gormless grin. It is the thumbnail for this episode. And he just says, Jessica, Kathy, Francis, I love you.
And that was it. And my notes here. Renee thanked him for his interview. And I was like, why is Renee thanking for the interview? He didn't tell her anything of note. Like, the way they pose this, like, Renee is this, like, Michael Parkinson, I'm going to sit down with you and I'm going to get, like, really detailed and interesting stuff about you. Because he's like, you know, I've got three sisters. And she goes, like, were you close with your sisters? You know, a good sort of, like, invasive question to ask someone to try and get them to open up a little bit. And at the end of she was just like, oh, no, thank you so much for this interview. I can't wait to learn more about you. And I'm like, what did you learn? Honestly, what did we learn here?
That most of his anecdotes about childhood are about his sisters... and object-based. That's another big giveaway. Like, it wasn't just... each story, it's centred around a sister and an object.
Yeah.
The broom, the security towel, the army hat. What? Honestly. Bobby Lashley, look at the freaking guy. He's walking Armageddon. He is a legit MMA fighter with a 15-2 professional fight record. And you are giving us this crap! This is patronising awful bollocks.
Can I make a bold prediction? I'm going to make a very bold prediction now. Oh, I mean, I might pick the wrong guy here, but here's my bold prediction. Kane is going to come back to the show and he's going to be carrying these items. He's going to come out, like, Bobby Lashley's going to have a match and then Kane will come on the stage with a broom, like, and, like, snap it over his knee or something. And then the next week he'll come out with a towel and set the towel on fire or something along these lines, trying to play mind games with Bobby Lashley.
Apparently Kane was backstage at Backlash.
Was he really?
But that could just be, you know, yeah, saying hi to folks. My worry
there
is...
There has to be a reason for this. I'm just saying there has to be a reason for this.
Right, and there should be. Because if this is just a way to make us care and get invested into Bobby Lashley's character, ultimate mission fail. This was an atrocious segment. It made me actively think Bobby Lashley was lame.
Mission
Why would you do that
successful.
To one of the most legit people on your roster? And because this does come up a bit, and we talked about it in the Backlash review, where if Roman suddenly miraculously turns heel, no, that does not undo all the bad storytelling and segments you've done in the weeks prior. It's still bad storytelling. It's not like, oh, but it was all because we set up those objects. Fine, set up the objects, but make it interesting and do it better, WWE. Jesus H. Christ.
You are not a fan of this segment.
It is awful, but okay, apart from Bobby's snappy dress sense,
mm-hmm.
This does have comedy replay value.
Oh,
like this
yeah.
is so bad that it's good, but it is also so bad that it's offensive.
Like you show me the image when Bobby Lashley did the like, and it's a really like tight close up on his face. His face fills the entirety of the screen, and you did say it's like, well, this is the easiest Wrestle Ramble thumbnail we've ever had to make. Because that's all we need. And that's true, so there's a positive.
We're going to meme it. This face is a meme, okay?
If this isn't on Ross's WTF thumbnail, like, he is missing a trick, mate.
SWAF Nation, please send us your captions for Bobby Lashley's gormless smile, I love you, my sister's face. This is a simulated combat sport. Where people are meant to fight each other. I don't mind personal stories. I like that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the Roddy NXT stuff was excellent. And it made Roddy such a better character coming out the back of it. This really was not that. And as I said, something has to come out of this. Because it's so detailed. And as you said, like, it is sister, object, story. Like, there has to be something within this that is going to play off in Bobby's first storyline. Or are we going to get another one of these next week where he's going to talk about his first run, maybe like his run in FCW, or he's going to talk about
TNA?
In OVW, sorry.
TNA?
Well, I was going to get to that. And then maybe they'll talk about, like, you know, the Battle of the Billionaires. Because they did say, that, like, the video package before this that kind of, like, highlighted his career and, like, his wrestling background. And then he came to WWE through Kurt Angle. And he was ECW champion and United States champion. And he, quote-unquote, main-evented WrestleMania.
I was like, well, they're finally doing it. They're giving us this video package. We're going to get the interview. Kudos, WWE, and then that lovely video package ends.
Yep, and then
get that in.
So I wonder if we're going to get, like, these next couple of weeks, we're going to, like, recap a lot of his career. But the problem is, that sounds all well and good, but if it's anything like this, it'll be dreadful because Bobby's not being interviewed. Bobby is rehearsing lines and repeating them back to a camera. Like, so nothing about this seems real or genuine.
In what possible world did they think this would get Bobby Lashley over? I can't.
Mate, this is a company that on Sunday night put Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe on last with the idea that because Joe was wrestling a boring match, people would boo Joe and cheer Roman. The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This episode of the Wrestle Ramble is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you will get access to Wrestle Ramble Extra, a monthly podcast where Ollie and I review pay-per-views from wrestling's past. The poll for this month's show is now open and includes Judgment Day 2000, 2001 and 2009, WCW Slamboree 2000, TNA Sacrifice 2009, ROH and New Japan's War of the Worlds 2015 and more. We'll announce the winner of that poll next week, so head over to patreon.com/wrestletalk to get involved. That's patreon.com/wrestletalk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more.
One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Haha, it's a Raw review looking jacked, man.
So Kurt Angle opened the show with his floppy wrists. He's excited, Luke.
He's very excited because Backlash is out of the way, which means we can look forward to another pay-per-view now. And that pay-per-view is Money in the Bank, and we've got 6 weeks worth of bill to mess it all up.
Well, I did appreciate how this episode of Raw structured itself around the pay-per-view in 6 weeks' time.
Yep.
All the wrestlers and storylines were based off, I want to get in the match so I can win the briefcase. And I hope that isn't just a one-week thing and they forget about it, or it's just until the qualifying matches are over. I hope this can run over 3 to 4 weeks.
Yes, I agree.
But that was good.
Shout out to the lad who had a sign as well that said Comic Sans greater than Times New Roman, which I thought was, it's like an extra little dig in there, which I thought was nice.
A troll.
But my other one was a lad that was just next to him that had, you know, the mocking SpongeBob meme?
Patrick.
No, it's without the Patrick one, it's just the SpongeBob one where he's sort of bent over with the sort of silly face. And it just says, "This is my yard." It really nice. Made me laugh.
Strong sign game.
Strong sign game
in
from
Long
the
Island.
Front row.
There was also a Braun Strowman with an infinity gauntlet.
Yes,
which was
really
good.
Get these hands. So, Long Island, New York. That's where Zack Ryder's from. Was he on the show at all?
He was. In a backstage segment.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. I thought Kurt Angle sounded a bit like Trump here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I was going to make this joke in my news, but you do a better impression.
Have I done the Trump impression on here?
I don't know, but Kurt,
that's
Kurt
the old
was
movie
just like,
podcast.
Kurt was like saying, WWE is so great, we never stop, we just keep on going. I give you the best matches. We've got the best matches, better than anyone else in the matches.
We have the best matches. Oh, that's not that great. We have the best matches here. The best matches you will ever see in a wrestling promotion, okay? Something
I mean, you
lines.
Turned into South Park at the end there. So Braun interrupted this and came out and he said, well, I should be in one of these Money in the Bank qualifying matches. And then I don't know how he transitioned into this. This was a bad segue, if there was one at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Braun told his own childhood anecdote about when all the kids in the, I don't know, flaming pits of hell that he grew up in were making a treehouse. And they all went to play in it without him.
Yeah, he essentially told the No Homers Club story, which is a story from The Simpsons when Homer wasn't allowed to join his friend's treehouse because it was a No Homer Club, or No Homers Club. But then another kid called Homer was in there because it's No Homers. We're allowed to have one. Nice. And that's basically what the story that Braun was telling here. And so Braun, and because it's Braun's voice as well, it just says, there was this kid who built a treehouse, and I wanted to be in that treehouse. So you know what I did? I tipped up the whole tree. It was just like, it was really, because it was like, you know, here's the setup line. And then Kurt was there to give like the, so what did you do, Braun?
Well, I thought it was quite well structured because that first bit when he's telling the story really clunkily, I was like, oh God, this could be the suffering succotash line for Braun. But then Kurt says, oh, and let me, and you know what I was thinking, let me guess, you trashed the treehouse. And then Braun goes, no, I tipped over the tree with them all inside. And I was like, You have completely won me over with this story. I thought this was ridiculous. It's still definitely ridiculous, but in a great way.
But it, like, was it though? Because, like, it didn't tie into anything, really. It's not like he basically was just like, I tipped over a treehouse, and I'm also going to win money in the bank. Like,
yeah.
That's a really, neither of those things match.
And well, there's a height element. You've got to climb up.
Cool story, bro, but, like, it didn't really work.
I mean, we've only watched this episode of Raw once, and we've watched them multiple times, don't we? great rewatching value, oh, WWE TV,
yeah, has. We watch these things with such meticulous detail. We remember who won out of the Braun Strowman Big Show cage match.
So I really can't remember how this related to anything. I was just so shocked by the kind of admission of manslaughter that Braun says at the end.
But anyway, Angle says that he does deserve a shot at Money in the Bank, and then this brought out Kevin Owens, who said that he instead deserves to be in Money in the Bank because he was screwed at Backlash. He wasn't the legal man when he was pinned, and says that he's the real MVP of Raw, and he wants to be in the Money in the Bank match instead. And my favourite bit of this, though, was when he got, like, onto the apron, and then Braun went to threaten him and said, like, if you want to get Money in the Bank, you're going to have to get these hands. And Kevin Owens just backed up saying, like, I don't want your stupid catchphrases.
Yeah. Owens is so good at little bits like that. And he also said, you're a bad monster. Very bad monster.
Yeah.
This all, obviously you can see where this is going. Angle books a match, which is Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens, and it's a qualifying match for Money in the Bank. Angle said, ironically, you're going to face Braun Strowman. It's not ironic as far as I understand the word.
No.
It's like rain on your wedding day. This is just unlucky.
It's like 10,000 spoons and all you need is a knife.
So this transitioned into Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens.
Interestingly, from that promo as well, Kevin Owens brought up again his relationship with Stephanie McMahon. I'm just wondering if that's going to play into anything.
Yeah, because Kurt said, thanks for reminding me that Stephanie's watching. So Braun Strowman took on Kevin Owens in what I thought was actually a very good match.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed this match. Yeah. I know I said on yesterday's podcast that I was a bit concerned about Braun as champion because you can only have him in one sort of... They've been essentially booked him in one sort of match for so long now that you feel like, well, that's all Braun can do. Like, he squashed the entire tag team division, then tagged with a 10-year-old and beat the tag champs on his own, and then has just squashed Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for weeks on end. But this actually reminded me of how good Braun is in singles action and how great it is when people sort of work around him and work around his limitations.
How good Braun Strowman is? How good Kevin Owens is, because I remember a very good match that I personally enjoyed from last year on Raw. Yeah, so it was before the Superstar Shakeup last year. Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman had a very good match there as well, it was a similar pattern of Owens kind of using his ring smarts, getting out the way of stuff, targeting legs, yada yada, to bring down Strowman. And
change my statement then? How enjoyable he is to watch.
Okay, yeah. And it worked because sometimes you're like, well, I don't believe that Owens is getting the better of Strowman. Like the Carmella Charlotte match on SmackDown, on Backlash.
It's we'll come on to that.
I don't believe that Carmella is... We won't come on to it.
No, we will, because there was a comment on commentary.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
That Carmella can dominate Charlotte. But here I thought Kevin Owens worked around that well. And great frog splash. Braun got the upper hand in the end by... there was Kevin Owens tried to do the pop-up powerbomb, and Braun just jumped down off the pop-up powerbomb and was like, no, mate, and then clobbered him. And that led to the three running charges on the outside.
The third one.
Oh, I thought the second one was the best.
I mean, yeah, the second one was great, but the third one, when he did like a full forward flip bump, was excellent.
Well, the first one was, like Braun Strowman clips them with the side of his shoulder. But the second one, he just ran straight into him chest first. It was great.
It was great.
And it got a huge pop as well.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
And running power slam for the win. Good match.
Yeah, good match. Very much enjoyed that. Backstage, over in here. Backstage, some lad interviewed Roman Reigns.
Mike Rowe.
Is that Mike Rowe?
That's Mike Rowe.
Oh, I've called
WWE.com's own Mike Rowe.
I've called him Mike Rowe.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. So Roman calls himself the uncrowned Universal Champion. Cuts just another one of his whiny promos, basically.
So I'm going to show you a picture here, Luke. Everyone else is just going to have to paint this picture in their minds.
Yeah.
This is the shot of the backstage interview. There's Roman Reigns there, looking about, I would say, a foot taller
than Mike
Rome.
Yeah.
There is only 2 inches of difference.
Ah, they put him on a box.
Real, yeah, a lovely box, stuff. Or that is a hell of a squat.
Yeah,
from Mike Rome.
Because old Todd Phillips does the squat very well, doesn't he, for his interviews.
So we're back to that. Anything to get Roman over. Then we got some... throughout the night, there was these phone shot promos hyping up Money in the Bank and why various people can't wait to win it. Bailey had one, and Breezango had a funny one.
Yeah, and I like this as well, because it wasn't just like... You'd imagine that it's just going to be your mid-carders that are in there, but actually you had people like Breezango and the Ascension cut a promo about possibly winning Money in the Bank, and I really liked that. It made it feel almost like the Royal Rumble, where it kind of opens up the battlefield. It's like, hey, like, anyone could win the Royal Rumble. Hey, anyone could qualify for Money in the Bank. You don't know who's going to be in there. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it.
I don't know how they're going to do this.
I think they'll have a battle royal for the final spot.
Well, I was thinking more in terms of, does Raw get four places?
Yes,
does
they said that on commentary.
Oh, they did they? Sorry.
Yeah, they announced on commentary that each match will have 8 people, 4 from each brand.
It'd be really nice to have 7 proper upper carders and then one guy like a Fandango or a Tyler Breeze, or a Chad Gable. Because you could make someone just using that match.
Absolutely, you could.
It wasn't just the phone promos. A lot of people were coming into Kurt Angle's office to say why they should get qualifying matches. In this case, it was Goldust.
Yeah, okay, so Goldust came in and said that he wants to be in a qualifying match. And he does his movie quote shtick. And then Jinder walks in and says that he deserves to be in the triple threat match instead of, you know, whoever, you know, because the triple threat main event was going to be Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor versus Sami Zayn. The winner qualifies for Money in the Bank. So Jinder said he should be in that triple threat match. And Angle says, well, I mean, you haven't won a match since you've come to Raw, so you're not really on that much of a roll, are you? And you're going to be facing Chad Gable tonight. And if you put in a good performance, I'll consider putting you into a Money in the Bank qualifier. Goldust then says another movie quote and walks out. And I was like, but you didn't get an answer. Like, you literally walked in and said, can I be in a match? Kurt Angle got distracted by something else. And then he was like, cool, bro.
Okay, then.
I'm off. And it's, again, it's just like, it's when you script things too much. And then at the end of it, you're like, actually, that doesn't make any sense anymore.
Exact thing happened to Zack Ryder later on.
Yeah.
Didn't get an answer either. Just like, oh, you said my catchphrase. Wait, does that mean I'm in a match? That'd be funnier if they held on these comedy undercarders or lower carders, whatever they're called. The reasoning that Jinder hasn't won enough matches. Do you know what Kevin Owens' record is for TV matches and pay-per-view matches this year?
I do not.
It's 1-1, lost 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So, we had that. But I do like how everyone's gunning for the Money in the Bank places.
Yes.
Then we got Baron Corbin and The Revival taking on
your
Titus.
Favourite. Your absolute favourite.
And No Way Jose.
Yeah, you bloody love No Way Jose, don't you? My first note is here. Revival are too good for this position. Poor lad.
Say that again.
Got the jobber entrance. I've also written, this is the most wrestling No Way Jose has done on the main roster, which I'm almost certain is true. Corbin blind tagged himself in and hit the end of days on No Way for the win. I thought it was a fun 6-man tag, though. I thought it was actually a really fun match.
It was a very fun match.
Yeah.
And it went 5 minutes. Yeah. Did you hear Corey Graves' description of No Way Jose, who was wearing these fluorescent green bottoms?
You could call him a highlighter.
A human highlighter.
A human highlighter, yeah.
It was funny. But then it was like all the Money in the Bank matches were really good, because next up, because that 6-man was not for anything apart from furthering the Baron Corbin No Way Jose feud that we're so into.
But the commentators were also saying, it's like, oh, you know, a big win here. Maybe that, you know, Kurt Angle's going to be watching this. Maybe they could be put into a Money in the Bank qualifier again. Again, making like every single match about qualifying for Money in the Bank, even if it wasn't a qualifier.
But the next match was a qualifier, and it was really good.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, did you not like
it? Well, no, I thought it was good. But I thought it had like a really great start, and then it really fell apart when Ruby was just doing chin locks for what seemed seemed like ages. It was a really great start and end, but it was also one of those matches as well where Ember Moon was clearly going to win because she was dominated throughout the match and then got the win at the end.
I really didn't mind it.
But I did think though that it was good. I just thought that the middle was very, very saggy.
So this was Ember Moon beating Ruby Riott and Sasha Banks.
It's boss time.
Oh, my God, when he said Michael Cole said that, I've written it there. It's boss time.
It's boss time, man.
Yeah. I thought Ruby Riott was actually the standout.
She was great.
There was a particular moment when she was beating up Sasha Banks, and she did the when she's on the top turnbuckle and she gets Sasha's head between her legs and drives it into the second turnbuckle.
A move that Coachman said was the most innovative move he's ever seen. Mate, do you want to watch Buddy Murphy's finish on 205 Live?
So, Coachman's commentary here. So the story of the match was Moon, Riott and Banks. That Moon got chucked out early and it was just Riott and Banks who were working together really well. I really do like both of them. It's just a shame they've been booked into oblivion, essentially. And then, because it's triple threat rules, no DQ, the Riott squad get involved a lot.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they do that from the start? It's by the by, that's wrestling. You can put that to one side. And then Bayley runs down. Bayley runs down to help Sasha Banks, and this was quite good, even though I gave up on this a few days ago. The kind of resigned, I'm helping you out, Sasha, yada, yada, yada. But then Coachman just says, let it go.
Let it go. And he said it twice, and then Corey was like, you're watching Frozen over there.
It just came out of nowhere.
It was so weird.
And it's got to the point, guys, where I don't find Coachman laughably bad anymore.
Oh,
I just find him infuriating.
I still quite like the word of the hour shtick. I think that amuses me.
But I feel like Backlash was a real watershed moment for my fandom this year. Where I just, all the things that I was kind of like getting along with, or like, oh, that's quite endearingly bad, I actively hate the next day.
But this was also the match where they had, I'm pretty sure it was in this match where they had a commentary line that was just to underline the pointlessness and awfulness of Backlash at times. Pointlessness is the wrong word, but awfulness certainly is the right word. When they essentially said, like, they were putting over how important it is to win Money in the Bank. Like, I mean, look what it did for Carmella. And what a great showing she had against Charlotte yesterday, really proving her own. I'm like, mate, that wasn't the bloody storyline you were telling going into that match. Why is this now the storyline? And it was a complete 180 change of character on a whim. Just like, oh, all of a sudden now Carmella's brilliant. By the way, she's an excellent wrestler. She just hasn't been showing it for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really, really annoyed me. But I thought this match was actually quite good in the vacuum. But, you said that Ruby Riott was really great. I thought she was absolutely terrific in this match. And there was a really nice sort of Hurricane Rana off the top rope.
Yes.
That was rolled through into the
Yes,
into the
that
power
was really bomb. Good.
Really cool. And that's when the Riott squad got involved. Yeah, and then you're right. And then Bayley got involved in the end to kind of help Banks, because that storyline must continue. I'm pretty sure it started in 2016, I think. They started doing season. Yeah.
And this isn't Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, and Elizabeth.
The mega powers explode!
No, this isn't a well-told story over a long period. It's
And then Riott had... Banks was about to get right into the bank statement, and then Moon came off the top with an eclipse onto Ruby Riott, but it sort of knocked Banks out of the ring, and she won the match. So yeah,
really cool finish.
Really cool finish. But Emma was dominated throughout the match, and then Charlie Caruso interviewed her back. Was it Charlie Caruso?
It's one of them.
Interviewed her backstage, and she had her own suffering succotash line when she asked, like, "What did you think of that?" When she said, "I'm over the moon." You get it, because her name is Ember Moon, and she has a moon in her Titantron.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Why would you, like? That's like, okay, I'm trying to write something for the promo. Okay, I'll just write down some crap ideas just to get me going, just so the obvious stuff is out of my head and on the page, and I can come up with something better. But they went with that first one.
Yep, first
the most obvious horrible thing. Makes Ember look bad. She looks lame. She's meant to be like a cool. I still don't really know what her character is. I like her wrestling.
And her gear is really cool. She's got an excellent look.
Mm.
But at that point, I thought, I think I'm over this moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to lose interest. If she starts doing crap like that, I'm going to lose interest.
And there was a weird bit where she seemed to stumble over her last line, which is like, and I will rise. And then she paused and restarted the line, I will rise to winning the Money in the Bank contract.
Well, it's because she has to rise like a moon again, because her character is she's a moon, I think. And she's going to rise like one to win Money in the Bank. This is what happens when you give people scripted dialogue. Just give them bullet points and let them make up their own nonsense.
What a terrific character. Someone submit that to Crap Gimmicks.
What, that I'm a moon?
No, just the gimmick is they're a moon. I don't know
orbiting around other wrestlers.
Develop it for us. I like how we're outsourcing a lot of the stuff these days. Meme captions for Bobby Lashley's face.
Jingles.
Send us in jingles.
Absolutely.
So after that, hot off the momentum of the over the moon pun, we got the aforementioned Bobby Lashley interview.
Yep, and then we get more dissent from Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Joy, because apparently we can't have nice things like them being a team. Sami was like, look, it's really important that one of us gets to into Money in the Bank and one of us becomes the Universal Champion. But Kevin seemed pretty upset about all of this because Sami had slapped him at the pay-per-view.
And fed him to Braun Strowman.
Eventually Kevin walked. Oh, because Sami was getting him to say yep, because he was only saying yes. And when he wouldn't say yep, he just said yes and he walked off.
It's a real shame because this isn't the story they should be telling when this is an open goal of booking. They're both so good as ridiculously over-the-top friends. But it's also like you see this. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are putting in excellent performances here. Sami Zayn's kind of conspiratorial, they're out to get us, shaking nut thing is really good. And Owens is a great performer himself. It's like, imagine if they had something good to do.
Just imagine they had something good to do. It's almost as if this tag team division could do with another really cool tag team, because we've got some really good tag teams in this division, but the Deleter of Worlds don't have a feud at the moment.
Yeah. So next up, we got that Jinder Mahal Chad Gable match that had been set up by Kurt earlier in the night. Chad got a few spots, but it was mostly all Jinder,
yeah,
I would say. And after Gable got a kind of shock victory, who knows, 2 weeks prior, but Mahal beat him up before the bell there. So I thought that told quite a nice story. And I would have definitely gone putting Gable over again here, but of course there were bigger plans in store. So Jinder won with a colossus.
He certainly did. And then after the match, Sunil Singh was getting in Gable's face. So Gable pushed him out of the way. And then Jinder took exception to that and beat up Chad some more. I've got to be honest, I was expecting a Jason Jordan return.
Oh, yeah, because he is ready, they
yeah,
say.
Yeah, well, PW Insider said that he would be on the show.
Man, that's not the... I mean, reunite an American Alpha. I didn't even think of that for some reason.
Yeah.
That is not a bad idea at all.
Well, and Gable's using their music again.
Mm.
But I don't know why. It was just like, it's because they were doing the beatdown spot. I was expecting a return.
Alexa Bliss, who's currently injured, did a phone promo for Money in the Bank, as did The Ascension. I thought The Ascension's promo was pretty good.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Not their comedy stuff, though. So it's what are you?
Well, is that still going on?
I don't know.
Do they even do the fashion files on WWE.com?
I don't know. Zack Ryder, we spoke about it. He came into Kurt's office and asked for a Money in the Bank match. And Jinder came in off his loss to Chad Gable and was like, win to Chad Gable, and said, I should get a Money in the Bank qualifying match now.
It should be a fatal four-way tonight.
Yes. And Kurt said, woo, woo, no. Because that's Zach's catchphrase.
Yeah, it was something along those lines. I think he did the full woo, woo, woo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to misquote the guy.
Well, I mean, someone will correct you. I just want to, I'm just saving you the embarrassment.
Heaven forbid.
It was something along those lines. But again, he asked for a spot and then didn't really get an answer. But cool, because he used his catchphrase. Yeah.
Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler beat Heath Slater and Rhino in 2 minutes.
Yep.
The crowd was super into Heath Slater here. Not an I Got Kids chance.
Well, which
he's
Rhino,
got kids.
Rhino was starting. But that's because that's how good Rhino is. That he was getting people to chant, he's got kids during this match.
Rhino?
Yeah, Rhino was there. He was on the outside starting the chant.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Nice work,
you could
Rhino.
Hear it because he's the loudest person.
But Drew and Dolph are really good. Their movesets, they've really worked hard on integrating their moves into each other's style. And their double team moves are really good. This time they did that. They've done it before, didn't they? It was like the Alabama slam into with the super kick into the full slam. But this time Drew had Slater draped over the top rope and Dolph hit a super kick from the outside. And then they hit their Claymore
zigzag
for the finish.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this is I think the tag team is cool. It's the most interesting Dolph has been in quite some time. But I'm just so much more into Drew than I am Dolph in the feud. Like I think that, when Dolph is in the ring, it's It's fine. It just feels like a WWE tag team match. But as the second Drew steps through the ropes, the mood changes and the atmosphere of a match changes. It's how good Drew is. It's particularly in this role, I suppose. But the mood just felt so much, so like just another level when he stepped in the ring.
Feels serious.
Yeah.
That's the best word I can think of to describe it.
That's really good, yeah.
And it's a shame that his serious entrance
has that record scratch. Yeah, with a record scratch.
I've spoken enough on that.
This team is very, very good, but it's all about Drew.
Bobby Roode took on Elias for the third week in a row next. Now, of course, Bobby Roode got his larynx crushed on the last match they had just 7 days ago. And he's totally fine here. He was fine on Sunday night at Backlash. But yep. There was not even an inkling of using that injury as part of the match.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I'd almost forgotten it happened.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But before this...
Dear, the commentary just fell apart during this match.
And for a lot of the night afterwards.
Oh, man.
So Michael Cole was just creaming his pants over the prospect of Elias.
Yeah.
And Michael Cole is not a pleasant voice to listen to on commentary. That's pretty much a platitude by this point. But when you give him non-babyface things to do, like being really excited for the obvious heel Elias, or being down on the obvious babyfaces, the Deleter of Worlds, it really makes his character just so inconsistent, and it makes me not buy into any of the play-by-play stuff he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's really damaging to everything overall. So why can't you get... I know Corey's gimmick is that he hates the Drifter, and that's very consistent from his NXT days. But this is a Corey Graves spot to get really excited about Elias. It's fine to... Jerry Lawler used to do it on a dime all the time. As soon as someone turns heel, now they've changed their ways. I think Corey could easily just have one word of, you know what? This is great, this stuff that he does now. That's far more suited. But what you got here was Michael Cole doing his horrible, over-the-top selling of how great Elias is.
Oh, yeah, he's going to do a concert. Oh, my God, it's going to be great. Right. Yeah. You know, I was really listening to the WrestleMania X7 opening promo because we did the WrestleRamble Extra episode on it quite recently. And that opening promo has, like, WWE commentators talking about these great WrestleMania moments, and you hear like Gorilla Monsoon, the Irresistible Force versus the Immovable Object. You hear Vince McMahon, the boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels. And you have Austin, the Austin era has begun. And then you got Michael Cole going like, WrestleMania is the best. And I'm like, oh God, it was the worst thing about that promo. It made me actually actively hate it.
And he was okay back then. He is so much, and you know, it's more the direction he's given.
Yeah, it is.
This was the Elias gig. Elias did his usual shtick, trashing Long Island. Mm-hmm. And Billy Joel, that didn't get much heat.
No.
He trashed Billy Joel, and everyone was like, yeah, okay.
Cool. I mean, bearing in mind, like, the audience that they tend to cater towards are, like, you know, eight-year-olds. I mean, how many eight-year-olds do you know who are super into Billy Joel at the moment?
Yeah. Well, they should be. Great solo artist. And they got some Rusev Day chants in there off the segment that happened the previous night. But he got much better heat for insulting the local sports team.
Yeah.
I think they're he said something that sounded like it should be a local
sports team. Yep. Yeah. I mean, they probably do a lot of sports in Long Island.
And then Bobby came in and they had a match. I thought it was a better match than Elias usually has.
Yep.
It felt like he did more wrestling moves than just usual. That most of his stuff's based around rest holds.
Yes. The crowd were cheering for other things, but I couldn't quite make out what they were chanting for.
But apparently there was a proposal
That was during the Triple Threat women's match. And that was, one of the other reasons why I think the match sagged a little bit, because the crowd just stopped paying attention to the match and turned around to congratulate the guy who got married. You know, congratulations, don't do it at a wrestling show during a match, because I think it's a little bit disrespectful.
I can't help but feeling, unless the fiance is a super wrestling fan, that's those sorts of things are more for the guy.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, like, my wife would always, like, before I, you know, we talked about, like, if I was going to propose, I don't think she would have minded if I'd done it in a public place. I think she didn't want me to do it in front of family, because that would have been very embarrassing. But I just wanted it to be the two of us. But I've seen, you know, proposals at, like, Kevin Smith shows, where I sort of feel like, oh, I wonder if that is
Who's this for?
And this very much feels and might be one of those, who's this for?
Yeah.
But, the crowd were disinterested in this match as well.
You could ask that question about a lot of WWE booking. Who is this for?
That Bobby Lashley segment, who's this for?
I liked the Elias. So Rude had a running bulldog, and Elias turned that into a backbreaker. I thought that was quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And the crash larynx spot did kind of play into it when Bobby blocked himself being thrown into the ring post again, but that was all it was.
Yep.
And then Rude wins on the third time after Elias had been in clean in two previous occasions, and he was like, now I want to be added to the Money in the Bank match, because that would be, guess what he said? Guess what adjective he used?
Delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins took on, well, we should start from the beginning so we can have the crazy reveal of who answered the challenge first.
Mm-hmm.
So, opening this segment, Seth Rollins came out for a promo.
God, he's good.
He is really good.
God,
and the crowd love him at the moment.
Absolutely.
He's really good, but Corey Graves said on commentary, many people are saying Seth Rollins versus The Miz is a match of the year candidate.
No, it's not. I mean, it was the best match on that card, but it was a very low bar that they had to vault over.
Yeah.
Like, no, absolutely not. It will probably be on, when WWE release at the end of the network at the end of the year, it will probably be on that. But no way is that going to be a match of the year contender.
Yeah, it'll be lucky. So in the larger world of wrestling, that's not even in the top 10 of this month.
No,
maybe in WWE it will be top 5. I don't know, but yeah, seriously,
mate,
Corey Graves is the one with the most credibility. So Seth does an in-ring promo,
yep,
and he says that he wants to make the Intercontinental title the top title on Raw, which kind of needs to, because
it has to be.
Brock isn't around that much. And he says he wants to be a fighting champion, unlike The Miz, who he beat at Backlash. So he issues an open challenge, John Cena style.
But we've said this on a few times now, after the great stuff that Cena did with the United States Championship, when he did his US Open challenge every week. And essentially, with John Cena's new gimmick, he has the best match on TV every week, and a new guy comes in and he has a really, really good match, a 3.5-4-star match with each person that comes into the ring. Lovely stuff. It made for great television each and every week. And ever since then, when they've done these teasers, like AJ Styles did it with the United States, I was like, oh, brilliant. Now AJ Styles can have the best match on TV every week. We thought that Roman might be doing it with the Intercontinental. I was like, oh, brilliant. Now Roman can have the best match on TV each and every week. And none of them have ever done it. They've done it once, and then that's it. And then they've gone on into different storylines. So this time, maybe it's just, I'm getting my hopes up, but hopefully this time it sticks. And Rollins just gets to have the best match on TV each and every week. That'd be lovely.
Well, he would, regardless, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But this really has a... You can build a storyline around it.
Yeah, you can bring up people from NXT for one-on-one shows and things like that.
Strong Seth
Rollins. Exactly. Like, you know, and that's what was great about the John Cena one, when you had Kevin Owens coming, you had Sami Zayn come up, and you had all these people that were just like coming out of the woodwork to be like, hey, let's have a show-stealing match, let's have a star-making match. And actually, you know, the match that we had here, I thought, was one of those matches. And I really, really enjoyed the whole, like, this from start to end, I really enjoyed. As I said, I just hope they can do it again next week and the weeks following to build into a new storyline.
I totally agree.
Because it appears his one with Finn Balor's not happening now.
Yeah, so this was answered by Monday Night Rawley. It's Mojo Rawley, people.
Yeah.
He cut a good promo on the way down to the ring, but not as intense and fiery as we know he can be. But I thought he carried himself as a good heel here.
Particularly because the crowd wanted it to be Zack Ryder.
Yes, well, that would have been... I guess that's why they did it, because of their history.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that, actually. And JoJo does the proper intros... Like it's a proper title bout, you know, in the left corner or whatever. Here, I was... Mojo Rawley is a deceptively big guy.
Mm.
Because what Seth Rollins is big and he is toned. But Mojo Rawley, because he lacks a bit of definition, I sometimes see him as a bit shorter or maybe. But standing alongside Rollins, he is, to use an internet term, thick, isn't he?
With
two C's. He's wider, he's a little bit taller. He's just like... He's the same, but larger.
Yeah.
And not fat or anything like that. Just he's a bigger human being. And it was... I was surprised by how big he actually is.
And if we want to talk about Graves further losing credibility with us here at WrestleTalk, yeah, he tried to claim that Mojo really gained some ground on SmackDown. What did he do on SmackDown?
He gave pep talks to kids.
And he had that very, very small feud with Zack Ryder. Mm. Like, I'm not sure that he really gained any ground on SmackDown. It was barely on TV.
Corey has been good. Hopefully this is just a blip here. But this, like you said, was a good match. Yeah. Seth hits double dives. That was the real fire-up part. Mojo looked good.
Well, that's it. And that's what makes this match so good, is that Seth's role in this match was not just, hey, we need to, like, you know, put on a really good match. It was like, let's give you some really big moments to elevate you in defeat. Mm. It was so Mojo came out of this match, although he lost, looking so much better than he did before he went into this match. And that's how great Rollins is. And you know, and then credit to Mojo as well. I thought Mojo was really, really strong in this match. And I hope they can do this again next week. And hopefully Mojo gets something out of this.
Thumbs up all round.
Thumbs up.
Then we got Finn Balor cutting a mobile phone promo.
Yep.
About smiling.
I've written the exact same words that you have. Balor cuts a cell phone promo about smiling.
Yeah. And it was like, you'll be smiling too if you never got your Universal Championship automatic rematch clause.
I was just so... Because the first thing is like, do you want to know why I'm smiling?
Mm.
And I was like, yes, actually, I do. Because you do it all the time.
After this, we got Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. No longer Miz Taraji.
No.
They've split from that. They've broken out of their roles to have new leading roles.
Yeah, they cut an inset promo to say that, like, they're no longer the Mistourage. They're no longer supporting actors, and they're going to reveal their new tag team name, which they didn't do in this match. And they had the line, turn us on and turn us loose.
Mm.
I actually quite enjoyed this, because that ends with, they were like, we're going to announce a new tag team. Stay tuned. Which is, I think, their new gimmick now.
Mm.
Which led Coachman to believe that their new tag team name is Stay Tuned.
This was the commentary was awful for this match. It was Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, whatever they're called, versus the deleters of Worlds, Woken, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, and it was just Cole and Graves bickering over Bray Wyatt's new essence of Samuel or Samuel, however you say it. It was awful.
It was awful to listen to. And I don't blame Matt or Bray in any of this. But the commentary makes me want them not to be on TV anymore. Because I can't... Having this every week is... It's just so draining. It's so draining to hear Michael Cole talk about... It's like, oh, and some bald guy's having a go at me on Twitter. And then Corey goes, that's Senior Benjamin. Show some respect. It's the same crap every single week. It's really... It's so demoralising. It makes me want to just... It actively makes me them not to be on TV, so I can avoid the commentary.
And the commentators are so important for getting over the product and being credible. And this is awful.
It's so bad.
But they've got a new version of the Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like the third attempt of trying to make a double team move, whereas Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler have like double team moves to spare. Bray and Matt are still struggling on this one.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, not gelling as a tag team. They have some spots that are quite good, but I thought this was the best they've had. This was easily the best one.
They just do it side by side and do the move together. Then we got Natalia cutting a mobile phone promo. It was rubbish. And
she said it was an honour to compete in the first Women's Money in the Bank, and she knows what it takes to win. I was like, but you lost twice, so I don't think you do know what it takes to win.
You know who does know what it takes to win, though? Baron Corbin, who had the next promo, who said, well, I won the Money in the Bank match last year and I'm going to win it again this year. And I was like, oh my God, you did win it last year. I completely forgot that happened.
Oh, mate, do you know what I forgot as well? When during the Mojo match, they mentioned that Mojo Rawley won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And I paused and I was like, no, he didn't. Jinder won it.
Gronk won it.
And I was about to write that now. I was like, I'm pretty sure Jinder won that match. And then I was like, no, wait, did Mojo win it? I honestly can't remember now. Mm. And then obviously I remembered the promo with the kids when he was like carting the trophy around to all of the arenas that he was going to.
So the main event was Finn Balor beating Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. But let's be honest, more Sami Zayn for a place in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And this was a really fun, good match, really well structured, where the crowd was super into Sammy and Finn teaming together to beat up Roman Reigns.
Okay, so I found this very interesting, this match, because you're absolutely right. The Roman was absolutely booed out the building, and crowd were chanting same old SM because he was dominating Finn and Sammy right at the start of the match, and the fans were not into that. And then Finn and Sammy came together and they beat him up, and the crowd erupted into cheers, being like, "Hey!" And then they dragged Roman into the outside, they brawled through the crowd and they beat them up out there. Anytime Roman got a little bit of offense in, boo! Crowd were like, just like so hot and into this match, and specifically into hating on Roman and cheering whenever Finn and Sammy were beating up Roman. And then eventually Sammy hits a haluva kick and he falls into the technical area, and Balor gets up and he hits the coup de grace. Crowd erupt into like absolute madness. Then Finn and Sammy get into the ring and the crowd dies, and the crowd weren't in so much until Roman got back and the crowd started booing it again.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, the crowd felt really quiet when it was just Sammy and Finn.
I really enjoyed the Sammy and Finn stuff. That's why I didn't notice
it. It was great. It was really, really good stuff. But the crowd were more into them beating up Roman and booing Roman.
That's not strictly true. Because I've got here, when Sammy gets Finn into the ring, like Ole chants start.
Yeah, but that's like right at the start. And then the longer they wrestled, it just petered out. Anyway, I was really surprised because I thought the fans would be more into that. But yeah, they weren't.
Yeah. A reaction is worse than no reaction in this case. So Finn and Seth, like you said, that Finn and Sammy, there we go, are having a really good back and forth. And then Sammy goes to hit something. Balor goes to hit something in the barricade area? Someone tries to hit something, but Roman Reigns flies out and takes them out.
And you knew Roman was coming because you could hear the crowd started to boo. Yeah. Also, the commentators aren't reacting to it because they only watch the monitors. And then like Roman dives out and they're like, "Oh, where did he come from?" It's like, if you listen, mate, you'd have heard him. Mm. But they had some more back and forth sort of stuff.
Good back and forth. This was a good match. Really good
actually,
match.
I've sadly come down on it, but I actually really enjoyed it. And then the finish saw Roman hit the Superman punch on Finn, and he's about to set up for the spear, and then from out of nowhere, Jinder Mahal jumps the barricade and he trips Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns falls flat on his face, and as he stands up, Sammy hits the haluva kick, and then from out of nowhere, Finn hits the shotgun dropkick and the coup de grace, and he wins to qualify for Money in the Bank. So it's him and Braun Strowman. So it's him and Braun Strowman in the Raw men's, well, from the Raw side of things, for the men's Money in the Bank. But more depressingly, it appears we are setting up for a Roman Jinder feud on Raw. Ho, ho, ho! Steady on, WWE. You do give us what we want sometimes. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, it's not promising because, I mean, that's the main event program, right?
Well, because it's Roman, yeah, so it'll be the main event program.
And it's we thought, well, WWE, they tried the Jinder experiment. It failed quite astoundingly. But then, like, they put him back into a mid-card area where he is so much better suited. This is perfect role for him. But now it was just we let our guard down, Luke, Vince has put Jinder right back into that main event program. It is two Vince McMahon pet projects against each other. And good God, I hope they don't go the foreign heel route.
Well, I think it's more... Oh, yeah, I mean, when he won the United States Championship, I remember Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez saying, like, "Oh, man, it's the one thing the one thing they never tried with Roman, the American hero, Roman Reigns." And that was, like, why he won the United States Championship, so he could be this American hero as a way to get people to cheer him. And, yeah, and it's now I've just suddenly realised that's what this feud is designed to do, because people don't like Jinder. So the theory is, I'm assuming... I mean, they don't like Jinder, so that means they'll cheer Roman Reigns because Roman is beating up Jinder.
Well,
right?
they cheered Jinder here when he tripped Reigns. Only other interesting thing is Zayn earlier in the night in their backstage segment said to Owens, "You know, it's triple threat rules. Come out and help me. No disqualification." Owens did not come to help Zayn.
No.
One moment in this. So will that play into the dissension that's not needed next week? I don't know. There is very little to be excited about on Raw right now. I guess the Money in the Bank stuff is well structured, and the Seth Rollins stuff is very good. But this is a 3-hour show. Reigns and Jinder, the Baron Corbin No Way Jose filler, whatever's going on with the tag team division,
which is nothing.
Freaking Lashley, Family Man.
Yeah, and the Bobby Roode Elias feud that's going nowhere. Authors of Pain haven't been on TV for... I mean, were they on TV last week? I think they were. They beat up some...
it was in Montreal,
yeah,
yes.
Montreal Jobbers, yeah. But like, I think that's what... I think Raw needs at the moment. They need a tag team something to happen because there's nothing happening within the tag team division at the moment. The mid-card scene's very bland. But the only thing I'm excited about is Money in the Bank. But that's only because I really like Money in the Bank as a pay-per-view. And I liked that the show was structured around that. But yeah, I completely agree with you. Outside of Seth hopefully having an actual invitational every single week so we can get some good matches on TV, it's not a great deal to be excited about.
What would you give it out of 5?
I think I'd have gone a 2, because you gave it a poor, didn't you?
I gave it a poor,
yeah. I think I probably would have gone the same.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because it was good wrestling. We got some good wrestling matches and the Money in the Bank stuff. So it wasn't a flat-out bore, but there's a lot of stuff on this show I really didn't like.
Yeah. Any excitements for SmackDown?
Yes.
Do you know what our lineup is for tonight? We've got 3 matches already announced.
Oh, is this going to be a thing? This is a SmackDown preview on the Raw review.
Well, I mean, may as well.
Preview.
Only because I know what they are, mm-hmm, off the top of my head.
Do it.
We've got 3 Money in the Bank qualifiers tonight. We've got The Miz versus Jeff Hardy, Daniel Bryan versus Rusev, and Charlotte versus Peyton Royce.
Right, okay. I keep forgetting there's a women's match. Because you said 3 there, and I thought, well, that's a shame they're going to get all of the qualifiers pretty much out the way in the first week. But I forgot the women have to qualify as well.
They certainly do.
The women's match is going to be so much better than last year's because you've got the whole company to draw from.
Exactly.
As opposed to just the SmackDown women, where didn't everyone just automatically qualify?
Essentially, yeah, because there were the prerequisite amount that they needed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we do get to actually draw from a pool this time, so we don't have to have all of them in the match. And I would imagine, if I'm making bold predictions, that Royce will qualify for Money in the Bank
over
Charlotte.
Ooh,
yes.
Because Charlotte needs to carry on that fiery feud
with
Carmella.
Exactly. And I'm also thinking that Brian will likely go into the Money in the Bank, as will Miz, because then you can have that stare-off between the two of them to build towards a match at SummerSlam.
Although I do like the sound of Jeff Hardy in a ladder match, as selfish as that is.
But he might have to have another bland match with Randy Orton at Money in the Bank instead. You know, so there's always that.
Well, hopefully, you know, Raw was rubbish. Backlash was awful. SmackDown, I've got a hope for.
Yeah.
It's
It's got a roster that I'm excited to see.
Very excited to see.
And that always kind of drives me forward with it. It'll be intriguing to see where they're going next with the AJ Nakamura feud, particularly now that Samoa Joe is trying to get himself involved in that. How are they going to rehabilitate Samoa Joe after his devastating performance that he had at Backlash in the boring main event and loss that he suffered to Roman Reigns?
SmackDown feels like a much fresher show as well. Like that one, Raw feels exactly the same as it's ever done.
Or even after the Superstar Shake-Up.
Yeah, but after the Superstar Shake-Up, SmackDown feels completely revitalized. So hopefully that continues. Shall we do some iTunes reviews?
I think we may as well. Also, if you are after more...
Oh, of course.
If you're after more from us here at WrestleTalk, the WrestleTalk magazine, issue 4, is available now.
That sounded like someone just said, oh, plug it in your earpiece.
Yeah, and also Be a Star is a very good campaign, and they do lots of really amazing stuff. Sorry, that was just a nice natural segue into that.
I'm off the back of that Nia Jax promo. I'm going to start promoting bullying.
Oh, I can't get behind this, I'm
afraid. Find someone smaller than you, or you know who isn't going to answer back, and just... punch him in the arm.
Did you see the amount of Yu-Gi-Oh! Players that were rising up in the comments yesterday?
I did. I mean, it's all in jest, but I could easily take all of them combined in a fight. Mike Vandy 52 writes...
I mean, what they're going to do, throw cards at you?
Yeah, always suggesting to others. 5 stars. Greetings from Indiana. I don't remember when I found Ollie on YouTube, but I know WrestleTalk quickly became my go-to source for professional wrestling news and opinions. I was hesitant when Luke first jumped on board, but he too has grown on me. Now I can't imagine WrestleTalk without him. I've been a pod swafter since episode 1, and I suggest WrestleRamble to anyone seeking a new podcast. I even suggested it to a cute classmate who likely isn't even a wrestling fan, and I'm sure she is questioning my interests. Also, there are times I feel like I don't even have to watch the product because you two cover everything so well, but I now watch more because you keep my passion for wrestling thriving. I can't wait to continue watching you two grow. Who knows? Maybe you'll need a Yankee correspondent at some point in the future. Keep up the great work, The Incredible Colk.
Oh, thank you very much. What a lovely little review there. When was that review left?
April 6th.
April 6th, so that
was 2 days before WrestleMania.
It was a month ago, almost to the day. So I wonder if there has been any movement with him and this so-called cute classmate of his.
Yes, Incredible Colk, get in touch. Luke at WrestleTalk.com. Give us an update. We will not just be your wrestling buddies in audio form.
Oh, man, we could be international wingmen.
We are agony aunts.
Oh, new segment alert.
Right, it doesn't have to be wrestling related. Just write in with your concerns. We will fix it for you, at least give you bad advice.
I was going to say, if you want funny advice, or at the very best, mocking advice, then absolutely get in touch with some of your issues and worries.
If you want to really put in perspective how little your worries actually matter, email them into us.
Absolutely.
We'll pick them apart. Let's deconstruct that ego. It's just taking over your life. As Coachman said, let it go.
Let it go. Oh, man. We've got another review.
FEX writes, awesome podcast.
F-E-U-S.
I've been watching you guys for a while now, long before Ollie did SmackDown reviews. Oh, okay, yep, I remember when that was. I stopped watching wrestling in 2010, and a buddy of mine watches it religiously. I started looking at YouTube videos when I came across Wrestling Talk. I still don't watch wrestling regularly, but I do like to be informed of what's going on, so when I do, I'm not lost wondering what's going on in the storyline. I will start pledging on Patreon when I'm done saving up for a wedding.
Oh,
thank
weddings,
you,
yes, mate, that's
F-E-X.
What I like to hear.
Thank you, FEX. I mean, it's only a dollar. Only a dollar a month.
Yeah, but a buck a month will just get you to be able to vote in the polls. Actually, should we have an update on the Patreon poll?
We're pretty close, eh?
Not only are we very close to our next goal of 750 Patreon backers, which means we will be able to do live episodes of the Wrestle Ramble, but the poll I was actually talking about...
Yes.
Is the Wrestle Ramble Extra Poll, which went live today. You will have heard the advert for it in this podcast, if I've recorded it, which I'm going to do once we've finished here. I'll do that before I leave. That's a good reminder.
Cool.
Otherwise, I would have forgotten.
Do it.
But we have got some suggestions in there, like WWF In Your House, Over the Edge 1998, Judgment Day 2000, 2001, and 2009, Slamboree 2000, TNA Sacrifice 2009, and ROH and New Japan's War of the Worlds 2015, which I had a look on both cards. It was very difficult to decide which night to do. So I decided, if that wins the poll, we'll do another vote for which night we review.
We could do a best of both.
We could do a best of both, because like the main event of night two is the Kingdom versus Bullet Club, which sounds very, very good. And the Briscoes versus Okada and Nakamura was the main event of night one.
Wow.
So
I don't remember these shows. So it kind of rings a bell.
So at the moment, that is currently, I don't know what place it's in, but it's got 14% of the vote. But way out in front with 32% of the vote thus far is Judgment Day 2000, featuring the one-hour Iron Man match between Triple H and The Rock.
Yeah, that would be good to see. We've done a lot of noughties, so 00 and 01 stuff, which is great. It would kind of be good to just go through the whole year, right? but I am in the mood for some TNA.
Well, yeah, TNA Sacrifice is on there, and that actually has 24% of the vote, so it's only 8% behind it currently. That's TNA Sacrifice 2009, headlined by a four-way for the TNA Championship between Mick Foley, defending against Sting, Jeff Jarrett, and Kurt Angle.
Whoa.
Also on the card, AJ Styles and Booker T have an I Quit match. Well, I think they called it the Legends title at that point.
Is this Main Event Mafia?
It was, I think it was around Main Event Mafia point. We also got Beer Money Inc. and the British Invasion.
Magnus and Doug.
In the finals of the Team 3D tournament. We've also got on the card, I believe, Suicide versus Christopher Daniels for the X Division Championship. And way before...
Which is notable because Christopher Daniels used to play Suicide.
And way before WWE were doing it, There are two women's matches on the card. As Taylor Wilde, I believe, is defending her Knockouts Championship against Awesome Kong.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember. I think it's Angelina Love versus Daphne in a Monsters Ball match.
Right.
I'm not sure. It might not be. Let me just, I'm Googling live on air.
Taylor Wilde. She always seemed to have her hands up in the air.
Taylor Wilde.
When she walked to the ring.
Do you know why she left wrestling? Why she quit TNA?
I think I do, but refresh my memory.
She got recognised working in a sunglasses hut.
That was it.
And
yeah.
She was so embarrassed by the fact that she, despite the fact she was part of a company with national TV exposure, she still had to work a second job in order to pay her rent. So she decided to quit wrestling and just work full-time at sunglasses hut.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. So, yeah, sorry, it's Taylor Wilde versus Daphne in the Monsters Ball match and Angelina Love versus Awesome Kong for the TNA Knockouts Championship.
Oh, that sounds like a good match. And I think I like Angelina Love.
And I think I also said Samoa Joe versus Kevin Nash.
You said Nash was in the main event four-way.
No, it's Sting, Jarrett, Kurt Angle and Mick Foley.
Okay. Wow. Joe versus Nash.
And, oh man, check out this as the opener. Eric Young with Consequences Creed, a.k.a. Xavier Woods and Jay Lethal, against the Motor City Machine Guns and Sheik Abdul Bashir,
wow,
a.k.a. Daivari, who recently made his return to WWE at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Well, hopefully that has gotten TNA a few... I would like to watch that show. but I wouldn't mind Judgment Day 00 or 01
2000.
Either. Yep.
01 is like, it's in last place.
Okay.
With 3% of the vote.
Well, anyway, go over to Patreon, WrestleTalks Patreon, and please do become a pledge hammer so you can vote in that poll and just get all the cool WrestleTalk stuff on top of that. And we will be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review.
Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.